Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello and welcome to part two of our 2015 festive special. And with me, as always, I have
James Ross,
Bryn Monroe,
and Meredith,
Lydia Nicholas,
and special guest
Grant Howard.
Now, it's worth mentioning, if you're listening to part two and you haven't listened to part one, you're being an idiot. Go back and listen to part one because it'll mean nothing. Nothing to you.
Well, to be fair, it's not like the first part made a lot of sense.
So, picking up where we left off, we had successfully reconnoitred enemy parties and we're now heading into task two of our quest to set up the optimum party.
We haven't narrated how successfully I've succeeded in my focus. So, smashing it out of the park.
So, when last we met our heroes in inverted commas, they were trying to steal a focus group from the hobgoblins to see what parties were good at.
Inigo,
a goblin who was trying to avenge the death of his father, even though he is from an asexual species, met the delicious
Lady Havisham.
Lady Havisham.
Lady Havisham. Lady Havisham.
Whose accent is infectious.
Mimicry, I'm matching your body language and tonal positioning in order to better aid by your seduction.
That's actually how Lady Havishams reproduce.
Yes!
Wait, Lady Havisham's a mimetic threat.
I am a disease.
It's not like nanobots. If you leave it near anything for long enough, it just turns into Lady Havisham.
Is that prion disease?
Anyway, Inigo charmed Lady Havisham through his great-looking hair. And
single hair.
And also some sort of threats about his father. It wasn't hugely clear. But Lady Havisham, overjoyed by your confiding in her, takes you aside to an alcove and discusses all of her hot party tips. Because you see, Lady Havisham is a one-woman focus group. She has all the wisdom of a focus group condensed down into a single lady. She is the most influential orc. She was an incredible orc debutante, and now she's an established mover on the orc social scene.
Slowly turning all of the other orcs into her.
Pretty much, yeah. Half of the orcs in the Great Battle Camp are now called Mrs. Hamilton. it makes war very silly. But she tells you of all the latest hot tips for attracting wizards and hobgoblins, and if you insist, bugbears to the parties. So you now have the knowledge of Lady Havisham and a single kiss from her big orky lips.
I'll tell you if I find your father, mother. Anyway, good.
Now to task two. So it seems like you've done some pretty thorough research about parties, maybe.
That's fine.
Comprehensive.
Comprehensive. like, you know, you learned, we'll say maybe off camera, what makes a party good. So it's up to you now to get set up.
Dog food, goats.
Goat blood.
And goat blood.
Mm-hmm. We need to kidnap a band.
Silly voices.
Silly voices.
And then we've got to deck those halls.
So first up, you've got to steal yourself some refreshments. And you're right out of dog food.
Oh, no.
We should just stop.
Genuine peril.
Back to the bugbear parlour. That's where they'll have dog food.
I suggest that we raid the bugbears and feed them their own food.
Well, the Dunning does have the dog food cupboard. Which is a cupboard completely stuffed full of dog food. Just right. Loose, not in cans. Just dog food.
I think we should think outside of the box. Is dog food for feeding dogs? Or is it food made of dogs?
Well, there are lots of dog corpses.
Dog corpses.
Yeah. Unilateral decision to the Dunning to chop up some dead dog people.
Wait, so are we killing bugbears and making them into food, or taking the dog corpses to the Dunning for some reason to chop them up there?
Yes! Yes! Up and away!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
All of the knives are there!
Boom! I speak in cannons now.
At this point, I'm just going to run straight onto your sled, just sit on it, despite the fact that we're indoors and on a flat surface, and go, to the Dunning!
That nothing happens. Oh. My sleigh only works for members of my clan.
Okay, so you go back to the Dunning. They've really amped up security after this morning's break-in. They've really got up security. So there's dogs walking around with auto crossbows. they've got sentries posted. They've got a lookout tower. They're marching up. They're marching back and forth. They're like they're warming their hands around explosive barrels. That
the
sort
best
of thing.
Way into any house is through the chimney. My Christmas research indicates this. On the roof, everyone.
I have no problems with this as a plan.
Okay.
I climb up onto the roof.
Let's go.
I will include a dice for optimism.
Yeah. And traveller.
And delivery, because you're operating through the same mechanism that Santa...
Yeah, why not?
That's
good, yeah.
Four dice.
I haven't gone badly for me at all.
Oh, that's dead.
Three twos out of four.
Wow.
You're so dead.
What's the good thing that happens?
My bag of rings splits open, leaving a nicely conical pile next to the wall of the Dunn Inn for other people to climb up.
That's a big bag of rings.
But I'm buried underneath it and crushed to death by my own hubris
and
slash
rings.
Yeah.
Great, yeah, okay. So this is much easier now for the next person who wants to try and get up onto the roof.
Well, without further ado, Chomper runs straight up the pile of rings, up onto the roof, and then using the ladle of Yuletide justice, rather than climbing down the chimney, attempts to reach his arm down the chimney and just rattle around down there in the vain hope of scooping something positive.
Someone's put dog food in the chimney. Yeah, okay, let's find out.
This
is
totally a legitimate tactic. So I'll be using my ladle of justice for an extra dice, and it will be... I feel like I'm only using two. There's got to be a way of doing this.
Gourmand, it's food related.
Yes! Boom!
That sounds good.
There we go for three.
Bring the ewl.
I got five, a three, and a three.
How are all of your goblins still alive? You must be playing it wrong.
So are you plus one for my previous guy?
So a six, a four, and a four.
Cool, so that's one success and a good thing. What's the good thing that happens?
Okay, so reaching down into the chimney and flailing the ladle of Yuletide justice randomly around.
Dang, 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 dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang. Chomper manages to just completely knock out one of the bugbears who were just in the room, just randomly by fluke.
What's that in the chimney?
Bang!
Oh, God, my head! I'm bleeding horrendous.
And then when the ladle is...
Mother! I need some stitches! I won't be able to support me horrible dog children this Christmas. Oh, what a sad day it will be.
And as the ladle is removed from the chimney, it comes up full to the brim of bugbear blood. The first amount of food has been acquired.
So that's a good thing that you have, and you've injured the guards somewhat. There is a
sound the alarm.
a noise like an alarm rather than what I did.
I was going to edit one in. We're going to have that just stretched and underneath the whole time.
Well, actually, it's supposed to be their dogs. They'll just start yelling at each other.
Someone's here! Someone's here! Someone's here!
This is where 1812 steps in. So, amidst this chaos, 1812 is someone just informed me that that's the song with the cannons in. So, changed their decisive feature from orchestral to canonical. As in, they got cannons. 1812 jumps down the chimney and, like, firing cannons from the hip.
If there's one thing built to resist the recoil of a cannon, it's a small goblin body in a chimney. I can't wait to see. Yeah, go for it. It's fun, yeah.
Boom! Boom!
So, yeah. Later on, let's see how badly this kills you.
Well, you're getting a bonus for being canonical right off the bat.
Yeah.
I'm definitely enforcing something.
Cannonballs.
Yes, he's popping down.
Actually, that's the honorific, but carry on.
The honorific is their ball dropper. They're taking it.
You're dropping balls on people.
One, two.
Is he smoking a party popper like three. A cigar?
Yes. Go on, 1812. You can do. Didn't something good happen last time, right?
Yes, so
you're plus one. Plus ones. I might not die. Yay! 6-6-4-4.
This is going ridiculously well.
The cannons. Fire off the bugbears.
Morks!
Are knocked over by your incredible assault. And then you realise you don't know how to reload cannons, indeed where you found these. The barking increases in pitch, but you can see now, through the smoke and the shambling corpses of man dogs, there is the delicious dog food pantry. A room full of dog food, like pick and mix, but not in those little boxes. Come on in and grab a sack, they say. Oh, the fun we'd have going down to the dog food pantry and filling our boots.
Some of it was food for dogs, some of it was food of dogs. Some of it was food made by dogs.
Dog food. Food made for dogs. By dogs. Of dogs.
Oh dear.
So, let's go for you then.
Okay, stepping over the dog corpses. Well, we definitely need some sort of receptacles. And there's a sign there saying fill your boots, but I'm not wearing boots. But these bugbear corpses are wearing boots, so I'm going to get the boots off the bugbear corpses and fill them with dog food. Will you be soon?
Wait till I'm cold, you little.
Alright. I'm going to, try and take as many boots off dog. Bears.
Horrible
dog men. I will use mass because I am counting and I know exactly the right amount we need for the amount of dog food we need.
Yeah. Also the right number of shoes per bugbear.
Yeah, exactly.
One. Wait a sec. What have I done here?
And I think builder. I'm helping to. No.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Roll as many dice as you want, mate. Just
yeah, it's just roll some dice. There you go. That's
one.
A 5-5 and a 2.
Okay, well, I'll take the 2 successes, which means that you complete this task.
Cool.
But you are injured.
Yes.
Under the weight of all
I am going to choose to kill Sandra, as filling up the dog food is. I'm not very good at architecture, so I've taken it mainly from the bottom where I can reach.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, exactly. Crushed by dog food, I have, however, made it easier to reach. So,
great.
Providing a plus one. To
so, what? So, so, the scene is over.
Yeah,
you've got that. So you have your
reflection.
Which is a load of moody dog food in socks, which you run out. I imagine like you hold it above your heads and run Scooby Doo style as you run out. As the
I load it on the sleigh. And 18, push the sleigh along.
1812 is wearing a tailcoat, but the wrong way round, and. They've got
apron.
All the dog food. Yeah.
An opera
apron. Yeah, so they've got all the dog food scooped up in their tailcoat.
Delicious.
It's dribbling a bit through the crack, you know, where there's the two tails.
Yeah. The new character that has turned up to take possession of the sleigh is Jim, whose defining feature is all the hats. He's wearing 6 hats on his head, one on each hand and one on each foot.
Okay.
At least 3 of which are seasonally appropriate.
So we're still doing the music. I think it's my go because you guys have both been.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So I've still got Inigo, who I think is still going to be talking in the voice of Lady Haversham.
Unfortunately, he's become infected.
Oh, like Lady Haversham.
So yes. Where do you think we can find some music?
Well, the cotillion is most obvious. But, oh, hang on, I'm looking at this.
For those of you, this is Lady Haversham now looking at the
map. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. We haven't been to the Orc place, so like, I'm presumably the Orcs have some fancy music for their fancy
parties. Which one is the Orc place?
The Orcs are sort of over here.
Around here.
Well, the Orcs are also the other people.
Or just make something up as well.
Who've been infected by the Lady Haversham virus.
Yes. Yeah, so like canonically, yeah. The Orcs are big, roughy, tufty dudes and dudettes who wear plate mail and punch each other all day. But now, half of them have been infected by a woman called Mrs. Haversham.
Prion disease.
So I'm imagining there's some kind of like ramshackle ballroom they've put together.
Just like half heavy metal and half chamber music.
Yeah.
Yes! And I also like to imagine that orcs dance with horses rather than partners. And the horses don't know what's going on, they don't like it. Yeah. They're just steering around a horse by its front legs. Oh, wow, you're being awfully charming.
Yes.
Run my fingers through your mane.
Well, I think it's best in terms of the places that are currently on the map. But if we're looking for music, we go to the Church of Bog El Karak, or God of Punching and Turnips.
Mm.
Because there will be hymns. Nothing quite gets a party started like a good hymn.
You approach the church, and inside you can hear fancy music playing.
Ooh.
And horses.
Like, yeah. Horses, like, really panicked, freaked out horses. Their eyeballs are spinning. They're not happy about it. Like, they're kicking a lot, and the orcs are still wearing the traditional plate mail underneath their fancy dresses. They've tried putting suits on and, like, bow ties on some of the horses. Again, they hate it. Like, they are not happy with the situation. They're dragging the horses around, smashing them into the pews, that sort of thing. There's an orc up front hitting, like, this massive organ with hammers to make the music come out. It's like listening to the two orchestras kill each other. Great.
1812 is loving it.
Yeah. Right, so proceeding into the church. I think the best way of stealing some music would clearly be to steal one of the horses.
One of the horses? Yes?
I would attempt to wrangle one of the horses because they're producing a lot of the music.
One of the orchestral horses.
One of the orchestral horses.
There's a horse tied to a tuba.
Yep. I think it's ribs beaten in by an orc with hammers.
You're going to liberate that horse.
I'm going to liberate that horse. So Inigo Haversham is going to liberate that horse. He's going to use the rusty quill to tickle the orc organist or orcanist under his armpits. And that's exactly because I've touched him with Haversham disease as
oh
well.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Exactly. I've licked the feather.
And just gently put it in his mouth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Luckily, the feathers are soft, so he doesn't notice.
Yeah. The thing is, I've used psycho babble. I've detected using my psycho babble. He's clearly already fixated to stage with the
belt. Yes.
And I'm diplomatic because this is definitely me making friends.
with a horse.
I'm sort of with the orc as well because yeah, I need to distract the orc by.
You're going to make him into a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Haversham.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So this is part of the thing, so we're going to be stealing the...
So I like to imagine the first is the equivalent of, like, in a Victorian drama when someone goes...
They pull the hanky when it's just that little bit of...
It's just wedding cake.
Which is syphilis.
Yeah. Except here they pull the hanky when it's full of, like, poker or something.
It's just then monogrammed.
They cough and there wasn't a hanky in
the hand before. Just coughing up hanky. Right, okay, roll.
Is it? Okay. So I think that's four dice. A one, a two, a three, and a five.
So you die.
No! Bye bye, Haversham. Wait, does he rather than die just becomes fully Haversham?
Yes!
And we lose an ego into the broiling dance floor.
Come and join us forever!
Forever!
And you're immediately trampled by
us. Yes. Okay, so that's one success and one bad thing happens.
Yeah, what's the bad thing?
The bad thing. I've successfully freed the horse.
Yes. It's now untethered. Still got a tuba cell tape to his mouth.
The heavily wounded. Orally fixated, tuba-centric horse is keen only on escape. is keen on the idea of escape. But in any way,
catering for a party from a musical point of view. So basically, I've reminded, my mistake was, the bad thing that's happened is I've reminded the horse of the idea of a theme.
So that horse is going to rebel. Like you're going to give the horse a stern talking to and remind it who's boss.
Yeah, basically
you,
the horse.
You were the boss.
Yeah, the horse has developed a sense of a mild inchoate class consciousness.
You're also giving it to you.
That's fine. Put it on.
I've found it.
Great. Your mishap is interesting. What's your mishap?
It was the one we rolled. It was two orcs turn up having a brawl.
Yeah, two brawling orcs in the middle of the large orc party.
Two orcs roll into the middle. They are Lord Ingram, both of them. They've been infected by Lord Ingram, and they're fighting for the honour of all the Lady Heavens.
Why, you scoundrel, sir, have your eyes! I'll have your teeth, you dog! Ah, put them up, you!
And they have a big old brawl with their moustaches.
With a tumour underscore, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, it's tied to a horse, and the horse is trying to run away.
Jim has been wandering the room, handing everyone party hats as their Christmas gift, and now he sees the horse that's going to escape him to remove his own earmuffs and place them on the horse as a pair of blinders to calm it down. You know how you use blinders so that they only see in front of
them?
Yeah, earmuffs being repurposed. I'm going to declare three dice for this because, again, being pretty optimistic, he's using all the hats because he's been handing them out and using one of the hats, which was actually the rest. But they're on the drawing I did ages ago, so canon.
Canonical.
A 3, a 4, and a 6.
So you're something good?
But I'm at minus one, so that's a 2, a 3, and a 5.
Okay, so that's one success. The horse kicks you hard in the chest. It's fatal, but not immediately, so. So the horse is now blind.
Blind and wounded and crazed.
And it can't breathe properly because someone's taped a tube over its mouth.
Oh boy. Well, Henry from HR has turned up for. We could de-escalate.
Okay, everybody, we've had some complaints. Really, the other departments aren't very happy with how this whole party thing is going. These two are fighting, which is not very good. And you shouldn't be trying to take ownership of the honour of other people. It's not very respectful for what's going on. Also, why has somebody taped a tube into this horse? We should probably take this away.
Dare come in here and shame my honour, Lord Ingram, and his honour, also Lord Ingram?
Yes, I am from HR.
Like, the horse stops playing the tuba really slowly, like a piano in a Western bar.
A whole room goes quiet.
And I'm going to need you all to calm down and fill out these forms.
Roll.
So I'm trying to de-escalate.
Yeah.
I'm departmentalising.
Yeah.
And I am.
You got your box full of paper as well.
Yes.
Maybe you've opened it.
I will try and open it.
Style.
Yeah. No, I'll just try and open it by smashing it on the ground to get the lock off.
so professional. I'm going to de-escalate the situation. Okay.
I'm pretty sure there are some forms in there. I heard that once, so that's probably fine.
So you're minus one on that thing?
I am. That's a 1, 2 threes, and a 5.
Okay, well, that's one success.
Hurrah. That is also one injury.
I love forms,
says Lord Ingram. And then Lord Ingram comes over. He's like, but I hate forms. I'll fill it out, but I'll hit you. And then backhands you like a proper lord. hits you with a cane. He spontaneously manifests.
Quite a disease.
I was going to say he's in the final stages.
I'll report you!
As I go flying across.
They'd never believe a povo like you. Anyway.
People starting to fill out the forms.
Mm-hmm.
The horse is blind and angry and is not filling out the forms. Maybe you can try and calm down that horse.
Well, Chomper knows that whilst you can't force a horse to drink, you can lead them to water. And whilst Chomper doesn't have water, he does have a ladle full of blood. So with that in mind, Chomper's grand scheme is to slowly try and lead the tuba-ridden horse out of the building by dangling a ladle full of blood in front of the horse in the vain hope of leading it somewhere.
Why have you kept it in the ladle as well? For the previous scene, that's quite difficult.
Well, you know, when you're
spinning it around his head.
It is a party.
Centripetal force. Right.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't stop spinning, it's all fine.
Yep.
Let's go.
Okay. I get my ladle. Gourmand, because it's food related. And I'll probably go with excessive because anything that involves wielding a blood-laden ladle
to distract a tuba,
to distract a tuba horse feels excessive to me.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
A one, okay. A four, a six, and a four. So one, four, four, six.
So that's a minus one. That's a five, a bad thing, and a...
death!
A death. That horse just proper stomps you. it's like
smell it, yes.
The mute, blind, deafened from the organ noise horse manages to smell you and just stamps
you. Like it? Why did I do this?
On the plus side, it seems like the horse is happier now.
Yeah. It was a cathartic experience.
It was a cathartic stomping.
Unfortunately, it's got a taste for goblin, which is the bad thing. But you have a success.
And with that, I think we'll take a break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Test, test. Elias, hopefully if you hear this, it means I've found a way to record those difficult statements I was telling you about. While I hate to speak ill of the dead, the previous archivist left this place in such a dreadful mess, and even an organization with such an unusual focus as the Magnus Institute needs a well-organized archive. As you know, I've been going through trying to digitize and record audio versions, but I've been having trouble with a few of the more bizarre statements. There have been sufficient distortions as to make them utterly unintelligible. Thankfully, though, I managed to unearth this old tape recorder from storage, and these cassettes, archaic as they may be, are still better than nothing. So with that in mind, I thought I'd take it for a spin, as it were. I've taken the shortest of the problem statements, and I'm trying it here. Frankly, I wouldn't normally bother with something so fragmented, but it should be fine as a test. Statement of Jacob, no second name given, regarding God knows what. Original statement given July 15th, 2011. Statement begins. It'll get you too. You can stare all you want, make your notes and your inquiries, but all your beholding will come. When the time arrives and all is darkness and butchery, you'll wish you had stopped listening and run. Statement ends. Yes, well, you see why I wouldn't have otherwise recorded it. Not exactly something for posterity, but nonetheless, let me know if you are able to hear that correctly, Elias. If so, I think we can begin transcribing the rest of the statement.
The Magnus Archives, a new weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quayle, coming soon.
And welcome back. So, we're continuing to not steal music with tuba-ridden horses.
What a strange thing we've got so far. So, avid fans might notice that this is taking quite a while. So we are going to amp up the game a little bit. We're going to use the slight tweak, which is called Go-Go Hyper Turbo Goblin Quest. which means that things are going to go faster. So if you roll a 1, you die. Right? If you roll a 6, you get 2 victories. Everything else is the same.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
So we are very nearly done with this. The orcs are filling out forms.
Okay.
The horse is blind, deaf, angry, and has just stamped a goblin to death, shoved it in the tuba, and now it's going to taste.
Right.
You have to sort this out.
Okay, so my goblin, my new goblin is Donald, whose defining feature that he's too competitive. Mm-hmm. So he's going to assume that he can, stomp goblins to death better than the horse. So he's just going to run over to the goblin, the corpse of the goblin. Just stomp it. Just curb stomp it. Yeah. Like again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
Show the blind, deaf horse who's boss.
And when he's doing that, he's gonna coil his single good hair into a horse-like mane. So he's basically he's trying to out-horse the horse. He's gonna be a better horse than the horse, and he's gonna take the tube off the horse and stick it to his own face while doing this curb stomping.
Let's see if it kills you.
Yep, one goblin, two for two competitive, three for good hair. Oh, I'm making friends with the horse. So
yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, so you're going.
Oh, you can take off your hat and re-roll everything if you'd like.
Oh, well, I'll take off my hat and re-roll.
Okay.
I still die.
Yay!
He's got a one,
five.
One success. So I've got a one, a two, a three, and a five. So it's one success and one death.
You pull the tube off the horse, freeing its terrifying jaws. and it gobbles you right up.
Yeah.
What an awful creature they've bred, these orcs. But it seems like it's getting kind of full.
Finally sated.
Is it easily leadable to a party?
Let's find out.
To water. Right. I try and lead the horse along by humming music. Like all persuasive,
if
but
there's one thing this song. Horse loves, it's classical music.
It's had no ramifications.
Okay, so all I've got is one for being a goblin, one for partying, and he's it's out of sync.
And canonical as well.
And it's canonical, right? So four. Oh.
You don't die.
Wow.
Oh, you do
for
die.
For once.
You got two twos.
Oh, yeah. Two twos, a four, and a five.
Dead as a nut.
However, you do manage to lead the horse out, and it only eats you after it gets out of the
Success!
Yay!
Right. Now, finally, on task two, we got to deck those halls. Where are you setting up? Is it in the boardroom?
I think wherever the horse is right now.
This is outside
moving
the church
at this point feels a terrible idea. So just in the middle of the camp with a horse is fine by me.
Around the horse.
In the graveyard of the Church of the Borg Alcoron.
Yes, that sounds good, yeah.
Sure. Where the horse is.
With turnip-shaped headstones.
Chomping
The horse is like frantically knocking over gravestones, yelling. yelling with a terrifying human voice. And it turns around and goes, It turns out Miss Havisham can actually skip species.
Oh, no.
It's jumped!
Goodness.
Okay.
So
we're now stealing decorations, right?
You're going to steal and decorate the graveyard to be a fancy party place.
Okay. Well, we know the wizards like goat blood, so we need to find some goats and kill them on the gravestones.
Why, here's a herd of goats going past right now.
How handy! Get him!
roll.
Henry, just from HR, does a horrible offence and just gets him. There we go. I die. But also, I get a success.
It's kind of a cartoon-style, like, dust cloud as you go into the goats, and then like, the briefcase flies back, covered in goat blood. It opens up, and it's, in fact, always been full of goat blood. but the goats... sorry. Trot off. But hey, you got some goat blood.
Hey, there you go.
Who's up next?
Okay, so Slurper, the nominal sister of Chomper, the goblin obsessed with liquid, scenting blood on the air, comes running towards the situation and immediately realises that there's goat blood everywhere, picks up the ladle of Yuletide Justice, which is also full of blood.
Still?
I'd like to say yes.
It's coagulating quite a lot.
I'd like to say it's a clot.
Yeah.
There is a hard clot in the ladle of Yuletide Justice.
Actually ill. Actually ill.
And then proceeds to run over, empty the clot out next to the box of goat blood, scoops out yet more liquid from the box of goat blood, and begins to just spray it around the graveyard.
How festive.
Okay, in which case, I will be grabbing one for being obsessed with liquids, one for being the thing of Yuletide Justice. I don't think I can sell goat blood as a food at this point, or sugar high.
No.
five, a five, and a three.
Nice, okay, so that's two successes. And something bad happens. I imagine that everyone's now covered in goat blood.
Everyone's now covered in goat blood, and the goats that trotted off are aware. They know.
Okay, Jim's going to act next. He's going to sacrifice himself.
Oh, no.
He's going to sacrifice himself. He's going to remove every single one of his hats and hang it on a different gravestone. And since hats are all there is to his personality,
and body.
He's then just going to sit.
Well, he just suffers ego death.
He's just going to sit down in the middle of the gravestone and breathe out a quiet last sigh as he perishes, no longer wearing a hat.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, the death of the self. Is there anything more tragic?
That's a roll for that, right?
No, no. So like, your next goblin to act gets plus one.
Excellent.
Sorry, plus one dice.
So, my next goblin is Lucy, whose defining feature is that she has a mild head cold. But that does mean that she always has tissues on her.
Right.
So she is going to use a combination of the goat blood, which is going to be written using the rusty quill. Mm-hmm. So she's going to write festive messages on snotty handkerchiefs.
What sort of festive message? Just give us an example of what sort of
message. Festive goblin message like, yes!
Christmas is.
Christmas is.
Holly?
Yeah. One for goblin, one for mild head cold because of the tissues, one for rusty quill, and I think that is it. There's no psych level good hair or diplomacy yet.
Yep, okay. Three. Minus one because goats are closing in.
Minus one because goats are closing in. Four, five, and four. But that is.
That's just something good, unfortunately.
Good thing. So the good thing that happens is that the goats appear to be appeased by a message. Good festive tidings.
I love goats. Right. Who's next?
I haven't decorated.
Go.
So the next goblin is 1920, who is well healed. I don't know much about the 1920s apart from the fact that she's constantly spinning in her little flapper dress and heels that are very pretty but two very different heights. Oh, I'm going to try and pop the party popper.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right, party popper, time to shine.
I just look at it because I've got no way of... I slam it against a gravestone a few times.
Slow into it.
This could end up being the second special where one of your characters ends up bulleting themselves straight in the head with some kind of firearm.
It's something that I do as a hobby.
It's turning into a bit of a trope.
I'm using partying because it's a party popper. I'm using the party popper, maybe out of sync.
You're getting plus one from the previous roll.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. 5, 6, and 6.
So. That's too many successes by far.
So you fail.
So give me your character sheets. I'm going to burn them.
Three successes.
No. You got because you're plus one, so that's five successes overall. So there is a tremendous. The party popper. It turns out that there was a teleporter mishap, and this is all the party poppers. That's why it wasn't going off. All the strings were being pulled inside. It smash cuts. Like through all the different dimensions of people going pulling them out, and then eventually there's a tiny little flare of gunpowder as they all detonate. It's like a mushroom cloud of confetti going up over the cemetery, raining down. The goats are all like, it's crazy, but those halls are decked. They are decked as brew. So now it's party time. We're on to task three. Summon your guests. Who are your guests?
Everyone.
Okay. Get summoning.
Just all of them.
Wizards first, I think.
Yeah.
Right, well, this is Bill the Receptionist.
Okay.
I'm going to use the company messaging system to tap in and invite all the wizards. I'll put an appointment.
The pigeon?
Yes. I'll put an appointment.
An arthritic pigeon lands me.
I'll put an appointment in their lookout calendar, which is actually just a calendar, a really big one. They look out the window and there's stuff on it.
Okay, lookout calendar is genius.
Yes. Go on.
Okay. I don't understand.
What?
I don't get it.
No, it's Outlook.
It's a really, really nerdy computer joke.
Is it? Outlook is a large email platform.
It's actually less nerdy.
This conversation
proper nerds
right here
use
is,
other systems.
This conversation
it's
right
true.
Here is playing into my hands.
I think you're fine, actually.
Right.
But you're not the massive pedant.
That's true. Receptioneering, a goblin, departmental calendar. And there we go. Off we pop. I die. But I do get a victory.
You get one. Two victories.
Yeah, it's two because hyper turbo. But yes.
Does a pigeon just pet you to death?
Come here. Oh, no.
Looks. My eyes!
I love that all of your goblins handle the situation so well. It's always, oh no. Oops.
Here I go.
But it does manage to get the message in the calendar.
Yeah,
in your blood.
Shindig preferences looks out the window. Party? Now? Thank God we had that really short-term calendar installed. Wizards, come with me. There's a sexy party in the graveyard. He put his shrugs on a coat over his eight arms. That would explain the confetti bomb. who are you inviting, brother?
Okay, so my next goblin up is Brian the Sorcerer.
Ah.
Brian is wearing cargo pants and a cargo jerkin full of pockets, each pocket full to bursting with condiment packets of a different sauce.
In packets, that's pretty classy, isn't it? You just poke the tomato right in there.
he's also wearing one of those beer hats with tubes into his own mouth. So he's pretty sauced.
Is that also sauced. Ketchup?
No, it's beer. He's sauced. Okay.
Ah,
so he's gonna drag the rusty toboggan onto the roof, push himself off, and squeeze ketchup packets behind him, leaving a trail of ketchup as he zooms through the camp towards the kobolds because he knows how much kobolds love tomato.
Yeah, definitely huge fans. Yeah,
and as he does it, he screams for Jim because Jim's dead.
Yeah.
Jim always loved attracting kobolds to things.
So I'm going to take one for being a goblin, one for my sauce, one for riding my toboggan, one for the fact that Jim is dead, one for I'm making a delivery of tomato ketchup to the kobolds.
Yeah. Wow, you're going to solve the scene.
And one because I'm travelling to where the kobolds are.
You're going to die soon.
this is apparently a 7 dice roll.
Oh, you die so many times. 5 deaths.
Pull it out for the listener.
Okay, so there's a one, a two, nice, a four, and a six.
So something good happens.
Yeah.
I succeed slightly.
Yeah.
I do take an injury, and I die 4 times over.
On the plus side, that injury doesn't matter so much now. The kobolds.
Kobolds come out of that hole. They're harder, but they realize this. Crawling out of their little warrens. Oh, I can smell some tomato ketchup or something. Oh, I gotta have that. Oh boy, is that tartar sauce? Oh, all of these sauces, come with me.
And the kobolds swarm out of their burrows towards the graveyard.
Unfortunately though, Brian crashes the toboggan straight into a wall and...
Four walls in succession.
I just slowly less goblin and toboggan every time.
A huge cloud of various sauces just explodes. All we can see is sauce and a single wagon wheel rolls out.
I'd like to imagine we just cut between a shot of the wall every time.
At the end, can the camera just focus on a single charred and partial child's doll? Is the only thing that survived.
Covered in hot chili.
It pleases me so much that after all of this, your next goblin is genre savvy.
1920 would like to go to the Miss Havisham party and let the orcs know about the party that's just through the door out the back of the same building.
You open the door and every orc inside turns to you and in chilling unison goes and then silence.
The disease has spread.
1920 is going to attempt to break through the social mores of the previous century and teach them how to dance flapper style. Yes!
Grab a horse, boys and girls. This horse is done.
So I'm using, being a goblin, they're using well healed.
Yeah.
They're using partying, and by God, 1920 is out of sync.
Sounds good.
So that's 4. A 5, a 6, a 2, and a 5.
Wow, that's
cool. You, that's enough. The scene is resolved, but you are injured.
threat?
Probably the horse. Different horse.
I'm just, you know, I'm doing all of these steps so fast, so like dandily and daintily, but completely out of sync, so I end up kicking myself in the face.
So, the guests are here. You have
some gate crashes,
a load of kobolds, a load of wizards, and a load of orcs and horses stomping around on some blood-soaked gravestones, as is the Christmas tradition.
The confetti is soaking up a lot of the blood, so it's sort of like a mush.
Pretty much,
but
yeah.
Also, it's like a bunch Christmas of gnomes thing. Of turning
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Gate crashes.
What do gnomes sound like?
Hello, we're the gnomes. We're going to rock this party senseless.
They start slamming down some big decks. It's a bit like that scene in Scott Pilgrim where they have the Battle of the Bands. Except it's just them conjuring giant turkeys and a load of orcs and horses looking confused, covered in goat blood. But yeah, they're laying down some fat gnome beat. It's sick, man. It's that latest new dub trance to come out of the gnome arcologies. They're huge fans. It's a crazy reverberating sound.
So Lucy, the gnome with the mild head cold, has to defeat the army of gnomish dubspec.
It's more like a detachment of an army.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Lucy is very angry. Lucy is extremely irritated with the gnomes for fat-shaming those beats. This party is a safe space. In the loosest possible sense!
These beats are healthy at any size!
So, Lucy is a goblin.
Yeah.
She is using Psycho Babble. She. That's it, it's only two.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, guess it's fine. Oh, hey, two successes, though.
Nice.
Wow.
The gnomes. The gnomes seem a bit, actually put off by this, though.
I thought they were good guys.
Yeah.
Wearing fedoras.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Horrible little moment.
They're being nice. What's your problem?
Yeah, I'm just being honest. The beats are fat. So yeah, the gnomes are slightly put off by this, and like their turkey holograms falter a little bit. Right, who's it next?
Okay.
Find some gnomes.
So
that tuba horse is still making a lot of noise.
So Slurper, surrounded by the ketchup and the tartar sauce, incensed by the gnomes with their excessive turkeys, which is frankly an assault. It is an insult against all good goblins everywhere. Decides that the only solution that's possible is to pick a fight with every single individual gnome there, personally, one at a time, one after another.
Jackie Chan style.
Yep. So, Slurper proceeds to get hold of all of the sauces possible, gorge herself just on everything that she possibly can for the sugar high.
I was eating that. Give me it back!
And then proceeds to run along and try to flip the fedora off every single gnome's head in an act of defiance.
I love it.
Okay, so, obsessed with liquids. Sugar-related, gourmand, sugar high, excessive, and the goblin. Now we're cooking.
Let's do this.
A six,
whoa.
A five, a three, and a two.
Oh yeah, so that does in fact defeat the invaders.
Removing their fedoras.
Yeah.
The source of our power!
you show off their bad haircut. They are ashamed and embarrassed, and the turkeys flicker. Music dies down, and you can all dance the wonderful sound of a horse slowly dying. It's yelling. It yells with the voice of a man. It's terrifying.
What happened there?
What dark sorcery produced this thing?
Lots of goat blood. It tends to do that to
mainly
horses.
Goat blood. The gnomes turn on their heels, like grabbing their fedoras and run out of there, like bullies who have been beaten up in a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, we'll get you. We'll have the last laugh. We've planted a glitter bomb.
And he points above the cemetery. This is, I don't know why you didn't see it before, really. One of the giant poles of the Times Square disco ball slowly descending.
By the time it's New Year's,
it's in a few days. can we get it moving forward here?
In 6 minutes! That glitter bomb will go right off and destroy the Great Battle Camp. Bye!
And they ride their spectral turkeys away.
I'm going to have 1920 sacrifice herself to summon 1995, who is all the Spice Girls.
I tell you what I want. What? What I really want. Speed to do impression of all five Spice Girls at once. A cigar, cigar.
What I was planning on doing was basically doing that.
Okay. Maybe we could all say.
We'll do it in unison.
So on three, I tell you what I want, or what I really, really want.
Okay.
Okay.
I tell you what I want, what I really, really want!
What I want is for the bomb to stop!
And I hope that with the power of also
spice.
You, power with the spice power, with girl power, despite being an asexual okay. species. Right, so that's like one for autotune, mm-hmm. one for out of sync, mm-hmm. One for partying.
One for the death of the previous goblin.
Yeah. Oh, is that an extra dice?
Yeah. Yep.
Right, okay, to that.
I want for being a goblin.
I want for being a goblin.
See, I'm genre savvy. Yeah.
Like, this is all in character.
Yeah. Two sixes, a five, a two, and a one. So, I don't know. Can we all do zigga zig ah?
Zigga zig
ah! Yeah. Alright.
Okay.
All right. Really linger on the yeah.
Three, two, one. Zigga zig ah!
What's the mishap?
Oh.
You got the mishap for the scene.
The mishap?
What is it?
A big, overly friendly dog appears.
He wants to make friends with everything and just like, run off with it in his mouth. So there's a big dog here, which adds two to the difficulty of the scene. So he's just biting things and running away with them, and like, he's got strings of sausages, like stealing pies off windows, that sort of thing.
You made five successes on that roll, though, so we've made significant progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
So, Slurper and Dribbler and Nasher are all going to sacrifice themselves in a final massive play of Christmas cheer.
Do they form a sort of robot?
So what happens is, all of this is so that can lead in the biggest, most rousing Christmas carol possible in the hope of overwhelming the glitter bomb by sheer Christmas cheer.
You form Christmas carol.
Oh,
God to the world!
As slowly goblins accrete.
Good God, it's horrendous.
It's no, it's carol!
What have we done? Let Earth receive her king!
So I guess that's plus three dice.
Right, so we got one for being blah.
One for
liking carols. One for being definitely excessive.
And then three for the other goblins.
And then three for the other goblins.
And you need to get three. Maybe you're yelling into the ladle like
you know what? Yeah, the ladle's definitely a microphone. Right.
What's this other function?
I'm blowing.
Well, I know this clotted blood is working through rudimentary microphone.
It's a pop sock. It's fine. Here we go.
You don't die.
There is a two, a three, a four, and a five.
That was terrible.
I don't want to whittle in your conflicts. That's one success.
And you die.
And everything dies. It's like Carol stomps forward and collapses under the weight of her own Christmas. A horrible, slowing mess of nonsense.
Silent night.
An orc veterinary walks up and quietly shoots you.
Can somebody else fix this horrible situation?
Yell all the orcs in unison, now suddenly wearing pretty dresses.
Oh, give it a go!
Shouts Lucy, the goblin with the mild head cold. Lucy dives up, scales the pole to get up to it, opens the hatch at the bottom of the glitter bomb to reveal a number of wires.
The wire colours are glitter, UV, and neon.
Lucy is going to attempt to short circuit the whole bomb because it's got the wires, using plucking out her one good hair.
Oh. I mean, it's good. So
it's a really good hair. And so presumably it's also electrically conductive. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that would make it good.
Good in this situation,
yes. So it's good hair. So she's plucked this out from her face mold and has put one, tied it round with one and tied it round with the other. And for extra conductivity, she's sneezed on it.
Okay.
Because
because completely deliberately.
Yeah, completely, yeah. Completely on purpose. Yeah. Because mucus is, it's a liquid that's partly water, cool. So it's more conductive. Oh, also, she's been sniffing iron filings.
Very clever.
Even more conductive.
Just in case.
So
you're sniffing a lot of things.
Yeah. So it's 3, and I'm a plus 1 modifier because of the good news.
Yeah.
How have you helped me?
Christmas cheer.
Okay.
Just by sheer Christmas cheer.
I can hear the sound of
the
jingle
weight
bells.
Of Christmas cheer.
Weight of Christmas cheer.
Washing psychically over you.
Right. Cool. So 3 dice.
You
4, a 5, and a 2.
You did it.
Almost diffused.
You are slightly injured, probably because like you're
sneezing.
You're sneezing
iron filings.
I've been mildly electrocuted.
I'd like to realize that's mainly just the damage from breathing a load of iron filings.
Yeah.
But you do manage to, in the last stitch, it's like it's centimeters away from the ground, pushing you really heavily into the ground. Your body's being crushed, and you finally manage to tie off your hair, and there's a shrink, and it flies back up. New Year is cancelled. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Goblin Quest. Thank you all for playing.
Thank you, Grant.
Yeah,
thank you for modifying the rules on the fly as we saw fit.
I've never played a game with Grant where he hasn't.
Thanks for that. That was fun. I enjoyed it. And once again, where can people find Goblin Quest if they're looking for it?
You can find it if you search Goblin Quest RPG. It's probably the best way to do it. You can buy it through itch.io. So it's itch.io / Goblin Quest. I don't know.
We will put the URLs and everything in the link dump at the end of the show. And there will be stuff on the website as well. So thanks again, Grant. I had a whale of a time. Thanks to everyone who's listened to us for this year.
Yay!
Thank you. Bye all.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to part 2 of our 25th... What year are we in? I forgot!
2015!
1812!
Inigo proceeds into the
church. Inigo Haversham!
Inigo Haversham! Yes!
Sorry, you've caught my surname! So imagine calling up your sexual partners. I just think you should know, I'm Mrs. Haversham. You should probably get yourself checked. I'm better safe than sorry, you know.
I don't know your marriage being catching a surname. I think that's a lovely way of dealing with it.
One of the orchestral horses.
One of the orchestral horses.
There's a horse tied to a tuba.
Having its ribs beaten in by an orc with hammers.
How am I going to do the soundscapes for this?
Good luck.
What could I possibly
Merry Christmas, Alex.
Alex, I believe in you. You can do anything you set your mind to.
The Rusty Quill Foley Studio is going to be very messy.
Yeah.
My Christmas is just horses in pain.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being honest. The beats are fat. It's not like, I mean, don't crucify me for, and then someone crit, no. Because it's Christmas. No one gets crucified.
You have that, Ron.
Hey? No one gets crucified.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woebegone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woebegone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woebegone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woebegone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.